Time now for business news. A key assumption behind the idea of creating private Social Security accounts is that people will make better choices with their money. It's generally assumed that consumers benefit when they have more options. Steve Inskeep recently brought two people together who have different ideas about making choices. Russell Roberts is an economics professor at George Mason University. Barry Schwartz is a psychology professor at Swarthmore College.
How does the question of choice affect the larger debate over whether to have private accounts or not? Barry Schwartz.
If you imagine a plan where there are private accounts that offer people a variety of options in which to put their retirement money, then it seems to me one justification for doing that is to give Americans as much freedom as possible about determining their future. And when life changes from no choice to some choice, it's good in almost every imaginable way. However, when life moves from some choice to mega choice, the apparent freedom that accompanies that turns into a kind of tyranny. People are confused, they're anxious, they don't have enough time to get the kind of information they need. It often ends up paralyzing people rather than liberating them.
Russell Roberts?
Well, I think the issue of choice in Social Security reform is a key issue, and I think having a wide array of choices and dealing with that array is part of what being a grown-up is all about. And although it does have a challenge that we all face when we deal with choice of information and dealing with potential regret, I think coping with that is what makes us human.
There's an assumption, isn't there, among free market economists that overall the choices made by millions of people collectively will be better than any one individual could come up with for all of them.
Yeah, I think that's really a dictum of all economists. I know what's best for me, and you know what's best for you, and I wouldn't want to dictate what's best for you. You may ask me to dictate for you in certain situations. I may ask my brother to help me make a tough decision. But I think what distinguishes an economist's view from others is the idea of who makes that decision for me. I certainly want someone who cares about me and knows about me to make that decision rather than a stranger or a bureaucrat.
When it comes to the stock market, though, I would think a lot of people might say they don't really know what's best for them.
Well, there certainly is plenty of evidence that that's true. And in fact, there's an article about how well recent retirees have done with their 401k investments. And it probably won't come as a shock to you that people with substantial wealth have done very well. And people of modest means find themselves in much worse position than they would have been in an old-fashioned defined benefit pension plan. And it's not stupidity, it's lack of time, lack of inclination to devote what time you have to this rather than other difficult choices that you face in life. So I completely agree that part of being a grown-up is making choices. It just doesn't follow from that you're always making people better off by giving them more and more choices in more and more domains of life.
That's Barry Schwartz of Swarthmore College. And Russell Roberts, as you were listening to him speak, you were, well, I don't want to say smirk across
your
face, but it was something of a smile.
No, it's an interesting argument. I mean, the stock market's a paralyzing array of choices. So I invest in a handful of index mutual funds because I don't like making those choices. And I agree that there are certain situations where more choice isn't always good. But the real question is, who's going to make that decision? Most of us, I think, like those choices.
Barry Schwartz?
When people are presented with the opportunity to make choices, they are very attracted by large option sets. A set of 20 possibilities looks more attractive than a set of 5. So you give them then the set of 20 possibilities, and at that point they discover they don't know how to choose. When they finally choose, they're less satisfied with what they've chosen than they would have been if they had chosen from a smaller set.
Barry Schwartz, stepping back a little bit from the Social Security debate, what's a concrete example in daily life?
I teach at Swarthmore College, which is a small school, very selective, wonderful place. Our students get to choose among 300 or so courses every semester, the 5 that they're going to take. They finally choose, and they spend the rest of the semester wondering whether they had been better off taking this course instead of that one, instead of devoting themselves to pursuing the courses they've chosen. I think we're doing them no favor by giving them that much choice. So I agree that choice is essential to well-being. It just doesn't follow that more choice enhances well-being.
Russell Roberts.
Well, I'm glad they have the freedom to take your course, Barry. But, you know, I think you raise a good point about regret. I think regret's a big challenge. We face that when we make large choices, particularly where to go to college, what job to take, who to marry. those choices are difficult partly because of the array that's available and also because the idea that there are going to be opportunities you had to pass up is often difficult. I think the issue, again, is being a grown-up. I want that freedom for myself in my choice of job, my choice of toothpaste, my choice of spouse, my choice of Social Security reform, a package, or more accurately, the choice of where I put my money for my future.
Russell Roberts, does the free market and the absolute freedom of choice always serve the consumer best?
Well, people make mistakes. Companies cheat. The question is, how do you constrain those errors to be as small as possible? And the second question is, how do you create an environment where people can use their skills and live their dreams as in the most creative way possible? And the free market does that. The ability to make those choices is really what sets us free to innovate and be creative and has created the standard of living that we see around us. The extraordinary revolution in medical care over the last 100 years, the extraordinary extension of our standard of living, all spring from the freedom we have to buy and sell from one another, what Adam Smith called the human tendency to truck, barter, and exchange.
Barry Schwartz?
Well, I think that, in fact, the extraordinary innovations we've seen in medical care have almost entirely been derived from non-market-based research in our universities and hospitals over the years. It's not free market competition for profit that's produced this innovation. It's scientists who are driven by a passion for the truth. Yes, there's an important place for the market. It isn't every place, and I think the more important area of life you're talking about, the smaller the role of the market should be.
Barry Schwartz is a psychology professor at Swarthmore College and also author of The Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Russell Roberts is a professor of economics at George Mason University and author of The Invisible Heart, An Economic Romance. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. With Steve Inskeep, I'm Renee Montagne.